This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. State School Superintendent Brian Wiston recently announced he's going on medical leave after being diagnosed with liver cancer. Wiston believes he's got the programs in place to reverse the downward spiral of student scores, and he has a plea aimed at state lawmakers. State School Superintendent Brian Wiston is here with us now. Brian, welcome back to Stateside. Good to have you here.
Glad to be on.
You wrote a Detroit News editorial a little earlier this month, and you laid out your strategy for making Michigan a top 10 education state within 10 years. Before we jump into those ideas, let's talk a little about where the schools are right now. You know, we've seen these gloomy reports, the Education Trust Midwest finding our third graders are among the lowest performing in the country. Reading has gone down across the board, across all demographics. Business leaders from Michigan say it's alarming to see how far we've fallen in just a relatively short amount of time. What are your thoughts about those third grade reading scores?
What they reported is accurate in terms of where we fall. I think what's unfortunate is they're not giving time for the measures that we put in place to work. Remember, the legislature just passed them a couple years ago. It takes about a year to get them in place. So we're really only operating 1 year with some additional supports, additional training, math and English language. So we've put a lot of strategies in place, but they've only been in place really for about a year. And, you know, you have 1.5 million kids, 100,000 teachers. It takes time to make reform work. It doesn't just happen overnight.
When you think of some of these academic struggles that our students have been having, that you're putting these strategies into place, these struggles that are reflected in test scores that aren't stacking up well against much of the nation, what do you see as the main reason for this?
You know, Michigan went through a tough 8-10 year period where a lot of school districts, including me as a local soup, did nothing but cut for 7 years and took a lot of programs that were effective and we weren't able to fund them. Now, under Governor Snyder in the last 4 years, that's turned around and we've gotten good funding increases. We've stabilized funding for schools and in many cases have been able to implement these programs for early literacy, for math programs. And I think, you know, you're going to see the impact of those investments that the governor has made, particularly also in helping at-risk students, pay off over these next couple of years.
But I remember the Education Trust Midwest report pointed out that money had been put into early reading, but yet those third grade scores still weren't happening.
Right. But remember, they put in the money 2.5 years ago. It takes at least, you know, the budget year is different than when the legislature passes something. So they pass something. We don't have the funding until the following October. The following October, then the districts need to take a month or two to apply for grants. It takes us a month or two to approve grants. Then it takes them several months to hire people and then to start the professional development and the changes in the classroom we need. So you're 2 years into any reform process before any of the money is actually being spent or impacted. So while we ought to be concerned with the scores, we also ought to give time for the reforms in place to work.
Speaking of scores, you've got this idea that you want to let some local districts experiment with student testing?
Yeah, I just don't think the tests that we give, and I mean all the states and countries, we give an assessment where students sit down for 45 minutes to 3 hours to take an assessment, and some over several days. And how important are those assessments to most students, and what is their motivation for doing well? So I think the next set of assessments that will come out over the next several years will be more of a gaming assessment, where students are playing a game, they're solving problems, it's co-curricular, and they don't even really know they're taking an assessment. But we're not there yet. So where we're at today is we would like to give up to 5% of the districts in the state an opportunity to do something different and learn from that to see if we can't improve assessments for every student.
And you need a waiver, right, from the Department of Education to do this?
That's correct. So we'll be submitting a waiver in the next month or so.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Michigan School Superintendent Brian Wiston. Brian, you wrote this Detroit News editorial that spelled out your strategy to improve our schools through the top 10 and 10 goals. What do you feel are the most crucial components of the top 10 and 10 plan?
Well, the top 10 and 10 plan, I think the biggest part of that is to have us as adults stop driving the educational system and let students drive their own educational plan. And we need to come up with a system that allows that flexibility. So if I know I want to be a plumber, an electrician, a police officer, a doctor, that is part of my middle school and high school experiences that I get some relationship to the work that I want to do. And then in high school, you're getting high school credit, college credit or certificates, and an experience in the work that you want to do. I think the more we make this relevant to kids, kids will do better. And giving choices to kids and parents will help them do better. And for the kids who don't know what they want to do when they move forward, that's okay. They can try two or three different pathways. So it's really about creating multiple pathways for students. Let them choose it. A lot of this is what the governor talks about in the Marshall Plan, to really provide additional funding so that students can choose different options. So Top 10 and 10 has preschool elements. It has elements of really opening choices up to students. It talks about even some innovation in the classroom, like for some students that parents may want to choose a competency-based education system where I would no longer go to second, third, fourth grade, but what I would do is here's competencies that a second grader needs to know and let me go at it at my own pace. Today, maybe I want to work on math and science. Tomorrow, I'll work on English language, you know, and I make some choices. I work at my own pace. Once I finish the curriculum, I move on to the next level of curriculum. And we've seen kids who are doing this are finishing in April or May what we would say would be a traditional class, third grade, and then moving on into fourth grade. And some people say, well, that's not for every student. Well, we actually found for special ed students and students with learning disabilities that they get more one-on-one support because the students who are able to race forward are able to do that on their own, freeing up the teacher's time to spend more time with students who have some learning disabilities and help them be successful. So competency-based is another thing that's part of the top 10. We want districts to be innovative to meet the needs of their students. So maybe they have a traditional elementary school and they have a competency-based school, and that allows parents to make choices.
You also write Michigan's accountability system will no longer be a top-down hammer for low-achieving schools. How will that accountability system be different, and why does it need to change?
So we've come up with what we call the partnership model, where districts that are performing at the lowest 5%, I think we said districts performing at 29% or below on the scoring system that we have, and those districts have 60 days to enter into a partnership agreement. That partnership agreement brings local businesses, local chambers, local colleges and universities. It brings nonprofits to the table. It brings the Michigan Department of Education, Department of Health and Human Services. And we sit down and say to the school district, what are the causes of why you're not performing well? Then you need to set goals you're going to achieve to fix those problems. And then we as partners, how can we help you meet those goals? Then at 18 months, you either have met those goals or a next level of accountability, which could be closure, it could be ISD takeover, or it could be reconstitution of that school. If at 18 months you do meet your goals, you have another 18 months to really show significant improvement in test scores. If you do that, then you come out of the partnership agreement process. So it's really about us working together with the business community, colleges, universities, nonprofits, and the school districts to say, we need to work together as a community to improve this local district. Local district, you remain in charge. You set your goals. You determine how you're going to meet those goals. We as a department are going to make sure you set realistic but high goals, and then we're going to hold you accountable to meeting those goals.
Brian Weston, what do you believe Michigan schools, teachers, administrators, and most importantly students, what do they most need from our policymakers, from the legislature, to help improve education in our state, get Michigan into that top 10 in 10 years?
I think one, you know, we've set the top 10 in 10, we've set the partnership model. Now we got to get out of the way and let it work. So often in this process, you know, with term limits, you get different people coming in and they all have their own opinions on how to solve the problems. And we don't have a coherent system because we're constantly making changes and adjustments. I would say to everyone, let's give it this 10 years to demonstrate that it can work and it will make us a top 10 state. and stop moving the ball on school districts and let us have a consistent, coherent plan that moves us forward. And that's one of my concerns as state superintendent. I love the fact that various organizations have come up with their plans to make Michigan a top 10 state. That's helpful, but it also, if we're all working in 10 different directions, I can assure you we won't become a top 10 state. The states that have done well, the business community, the education community, teachers, unions, all got together and said, this is the direction we're going to move in. Everybody else got out of the way and they moved in that direction.
What are your greatest hopes for education in our state?
The sad part of it for me is I have visited over 100 school districts in the state as state superintendent, and there are a lot of great things going on that educators and students and parents don't get credit for. And so I just wish people would not just singly look at data and say that's how we're doing. I wish we'd look at individual students and see how they're performing and how they are being successful. It's true that we're not meeting the needs of every student, so I guess my greatest hope is that we really create a system where every student has that opportunity and access to success. And I think we do that if we implement our plans.
State School Superintendent Brian Whiston, we wish you all the best as you prepare to go on medical leave. And thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.